Take your Bible and turn over to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. And I have to tell this story, man. I just got to tell this story. It's one of my favorite stories to tell. And you can only tell it in the state of Texas because only Texans fully appreciate it. One day there was a fella that was flying overseas. And with him, it's just a pilot and there were four passengers. All right. And the four passengers consisted of a Frenchman, an Englishman, a Texan, and a Mexican. All right? Well, they were flying, and announcement came over the intercom. And the pilot was obviously shook, and he said, "Gentlemen, I am so sorry to tell you, but we are experiencing engine trouble, and we are losing fuel. And there's no way that we're going to be able to meet our destination unless three of you will be brave enough to jump so that one will survive and the plane can land safely." Well, they stood there looking at each other for a little bit, and the Englishman finally, he stood up and he went to the doorway and opened it, and he said, "Long live the Queen!" And he jumped out. Man, the Frenchman, he got to look at that and he said, "Man, I'm not going to let some Englishman stand me up. So he went up to the door and he looked around, he said, "Vive la France!" He jumped out. Well, now you just have the two left, the Texan and the Mexican. Well, the Texan, that long stride of his, he gets up to the door. He tips his hat back. He's looking, "I ain't going to let no Frenchie and no Englishman show me up." And so he rears back and he said, "Remember the Alamo!" And he grabs a Mexican and throws him out. So, man, I'm telling you, you can only tell that in Texas, amen? And I know most jokes are off limits nowadays, and I'm probably going to get canceled. But I've been canceled before, and I'll be canceled again, all right? But it's all right. We're having a time, amen? Hey, in your Bible, I want you to turn, if you're not there already, to Mark chapter number 10. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 17. And then following, and we're going to bring a message I hope will be a blessing to you here this morning. I know we have a number of folks that are visiting, and thank you for coming and being here. And I do trust that the message will be a blessing to everyone. Verse number 17 says, Mark number 10, chapter 10, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' And look at verse 2. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Again, verse number 2. "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." You know, there have been many sermons preached on this rich young ruler. And he's one of only a handful who ever left the presence of Jesus grieved. And so I'd like to speak to you on this thought this morning for a few minutes. The fatal refusal. The fatal refusal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to preach, and thank you for this great church and Pastor Ogdie and his wife and family and all the years that they've served here. And just thank you for the privilege to be here. I'm honored. And I pray, God, that you would rest upon this service and that you would use the Word of God to speak to each and every heart. Help us to realize, Lord, that we only have so many opportunities, so many chances to get it right in our life. And I pray, Lord, that will not leave having made the same mistake as this rich young ruler. And we thank you for, we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name and amen. You know, I can't help but read this passage of scripture without a touch of sorrow in my heart. Especially when you think about it, here was a young man who came unto the presence of Jesus and yet he went away grieved. And I say it, and I believe it to be true, this was a fatal refusal. A fatal refusal. You know, he came seeking the Lord for guidance, and yet he went away in deep sorrow. Now, that was not normal. It wasn't normal. Especially when you think about the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus and those that came into his presence. Usually when someone met the Lord, they went away rejoicing. I mean, think about it. Even from your Sunday school lessons, you remember, you know, the blind man or the lame man or the woman with an issue of blood or any number of scriptures that you can recall. And you remember that when Jesus touched them, when Jesus spoke to them, hey, they went away rejoicing. I mean, there was victory, all right, for the announcement to make. But not in this situation here. Here was a young man who came to Jesus Christ, and yet the Bible says that he left sorrowful. Now, did Jesus give him reason to be sorrowful? And the answer would be no, when you consider this. Jesus did not push him away. He did not refuse him. You do not see Jesus disqualifying this person for any particular matter at all. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus loved him. And just like the preacher said earlier, hey, I know that Jesus loves me and he loves you because the Bible tells us so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants no one to perish. God wants no one to be eternally separated from him forever. He came to die. He was buried and he rose again. We just celebrated that, did we not? And so we see here, the simple truth is, Jesus Christ presented him with a choice. He could say yes or no. He could follow or he could walk away. And sadly, he chose to walk away. I hope you will not leave today grieved. I hope you will not leave it when confronted with an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ as your Savior and walk away with sorrow in your heart. Oh, it's sad. When you think about this young man and all the potential, all of the promise, he had a number of things going for him. And I'll go through them quickly. We've already read about them. But beginning in verse 17, we see about this young man some qualities. He was eager. He came running to Jesus. Others lingered. A lot of them wanted nothing to do with Christ, but he was eager to run to him. He was humble. He knelt before him in verse 17. He knew Jesus commanded respect and he obliged him. We also see he showed discernment and reverence. He called Jesus good master. He also had some spirituality. He asked, "What shall I do?" He had a concern for spiritual things. He was concerned for his eternal soul. Verse number 20, we see that he was morally upright. In other words, he didn't have any bad habits. We see in verse 19 and 20, he was religious. All right, he tithed. He attended his synagogue or his church. And verse 22, we see that he was wealthy. You think about what he could have done for the Lord. We see in Matthew 19, 20, he was young. His whole life he had before him. We also read in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18 that he was a ruler. Think of the influence for Christ he could have had. Hey, he had some good sense. He went to the right place, sought the right person at the right time. He had a lot going for him. He had a lot of promise. And he had a lot of potential. He came so close to making Jesus his choice. But sadly, he didn't. And he walked away grieved. It was a fatal refusal. You know, the story strikes a chord with me because as a youth director, I had a young man in the youth group that I was trying to reach. He wasn't in the youth group. He was in the community, and I was trying to reach him to get him in the youth group. His name was Mike. Mike had a lot of promise. He had a lot of potential. He was a published cartoonist as a junior in high school and had already received a number of scholarships to go to his university of choice. I met him and some other teenagers. They were out in the subdivision and they were playing pickup basketball. And in those days, I would take a chance, all right, and play. I don't do it now, all right? Things that, you know, they hurt a lot more than they used to. But it was the time where, man, you could gather a group of kids together, shoot some hoops, and then, you know, sit down after a bit and say, hey, let me just take a few minutes of your time and talk to you about the Lord. And so after we played ball with them a little while and howdied back and forth, when it's time to, you know, do something serious, they gave us some respect and some time. Mike listened. He listened intently, but he never got saved. He wouldn't get saved. He'd get oh so close, but he wouldn't get saved. He had some friends in that area that I knew were not good news, and he had linked up with some of them, and he had got into some trouble one night. In fact, one of our men was a police officer, and the police officer called me and told me he had been arrested with these other guys that were breaking into some cars. And so, long story short, I got with him, got him through that situation, kind of kept working with him, and to still no avail, he still would not receive Christ. We had Dr. Carl Hatch coming through town for revival. Brother Carl Hatch was going to give his life story. It was on a Wednesday night, the final night of the revival, and so I thought, man, I got to get Mike. Maybe if Mike will get to the Carl Hatch revival meeting. Carl Hatch, for those of you who don't know him, had a testimony. I mean, if there was anybody that deserved to go to hell, well, we all deserve to. But I mean, he was so mean and so hateful and ornery and just defied God for so long. But he got saved. Amen. And man, you figure if Carl Hatch could get saved, anybody could get saved. And he'd tell his life story and had done so multiple times. And no telling how many people in heaven are going to be in heaven because of his life story and his testimony. I said, Mike, you got to get to that. You got to get to that. He said, man, I just can't. I got some plans. I got some plans going to Florida with my uncle and some other folks. And I just can't make it. I said, man, look, go tomorrow. Go another time. But you need to come. Well, he didn't come. Thursday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. Again, it's Baton Rouge City Police. What had happened, they had one of those parties like young people did at that time, and some of the older folks, and they were gathered and they were drinking beer and smoking marijuana. And his uncle had a gun, and he pulled that gun out, and he was just going to scare Mike, or intended on scaring Mike because he was being a little bit cocky and out of control. Well, when he pointed that gun at Mike, it went off and it struck him right up underneath the eye. And Mike went into eternity in just a few seconds. I couldn't help looking at that scene and that situation and remembering, I just don't have time to come. I can't come. I got something else that's more important. I got something that's pressing right now. You know what Mike did that night? He made a fatal refusal. He made a fatal refusal. Now, you can take a few lessons away from the life of the rich young ruler. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, possessions, fame, or fortune in this life will never satisfy the soul of man. It just won't satisfy. Things in this life, fortune, fame, and such, will never satisfy. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The wise man Solomon said, of material things that it is all vanity. All vanity. Secondly, I'd like to say this. Opportunities to make Jesus your choice slip away quickly. Listen to me. They slip away quickly. We think we got all the time in the world. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have a whole lot of time. There's a man in our church. His name is Randy Kendall. Randy Kendall is pretty close to me. I've worked with him through a lot of things over my near 28 years there at Grace Baptist Church. Randy has a love for souls, and he had a desire to reach his family. And I think as of the last funeral, I've preached to both sides of his family and have tried to get the gospel to them. And he didn't have any children. He's never married, but he had two nieces, and he practically helped to raise them. And one of his nieces, Shanna, was living down in Arkansas, and she was with her husband and a couple other folks, and she had called her dad and said, "Dad, this is Shanna. We are on our way. We'll see you in a few minutes." They lived in a distant town, and they were going to that area, I think around Branson or Hobnob or something of that nature down there. You know how those folks in Arkansas are. They got Toad Sticker and Fuber Lincoln and Holla Dog and all of that, you know. Well, she called and left that message. "Hey, Dad, this Shanna, just be there in a few seconds." Little did she know that within just a few minutes, there'd be a crash and she would go out into eternity. Now, that devastated Randy. I mean, it would devastate anyone. They'd lose a child or a nephew or a niece in a fashion like that, right? And I said, "Randy, we need to do a little research. We need to try to use her testimony or this instance as a way to reach others." As it turned out, we found out from the time that she left the message with her dad, "I will see you in a few minutes, love, Shanna," to the time the crash took place was 6 minutes. 6 minutes. 6 minutes. From the time she said the last, "I love you," to the time she went into eternity, 6 minutes. When she left that message, she had no idea what was right around the curve. She, like so many of us, would be planning the day and looking forward to the days and weeks ahead, right? But in 6 minutes, it came to an end. So we put a track together called 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Your life can be turned upside down in just a few seconds. You see, we think we have all the time. We think we have all of these opportunities. "We're going to get it right one of these days. I got too much life to live. I don't want to hear that church stuff right now. Come on." Hey, those opportunities, they're slipping away quickly. I think it was Oswald Smith. It wasn't him. It was another preacher of that caliber said this, that the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. Every day that you reject God increases the possibility that you will be lost forever. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Hey, Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Genesis 6:3, the Bible says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You know, I, like your preacher, of course, was raised up in church. I didn't grow up in a preacher's home, but I grew up in a deacon and a Sunday school teacher's home. And we're just as bad as the preacher's kids, all right? I had that knowledge right here in my head, but I was missing it. I was missing something. You see, someone said the distance between heaven and hell is just a short distance, however far it is between your head and your heart. Because right here in your heart, that's where you decide. what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. Okay? I remember I'd sit through revival meetings and, man, the preacher, Brother Smith, was bad about always asking, do you know that you know that you know that you know? You ought to ask yourself that sometime. Let it sink in. And I'd sit there, I'd stand there during that invitation, and man, it'd be like my heart was just beating out of my chest. But I was too proud to go forward because of the fact that, hey, I was in Sunday school, church, been baptized, and so forth. And finally that Sunday night, I had to make a decision. I said, I'm not going to hell for anybody.
Amen.
Mom and Dad were in church. Brother and sister were in church. Friends in the youth group were in church. I walked forward and the preacher came down and took his hand. The preacher asked why I came. I said, I need to get born again. I need to get saved. Just got saved right there at that altar there at Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. You see, I knew what I needed to do. I just needed to do it. Just needed to do it. And here's the reason I tell you that illustration, because the conviction was so strong in my heart that night, I believe if I would have said no, the Lord would have ceased to speak to me about salvation. See, you need to understand something. We don't come on our terms. We come on God's terms. When God speaks and God draws us and convicts us and shows us our need for salvation. You said, I've sat through a number of those invitations and said, no, no, no. But there was a stark reality that Sunday night. And I want you to know, I thank God I didn't leave church on that Sunday night grieved. I left church happy and rejoicing. You see, what I'm saying is that materialism and fortune and fame and new things that this life can afford, it'll never bring satisfaction. And then opportunities to make Jesus your choice, you better take it seriously. They slip away quickly. And then let me just say this lastly. Usually it's only one thing that keeps a person from accepting Christ or going all out for Jesus. There was one thing, only one thing in the life of this rich young ruler, and he failed to give it. Now, what was it? He was in love with his riches. You see, was it money or riches or the love of it? What was it? Is heaven and hell determined by do's and don'ts and riches or poverty? No. Heaven or hell is determined by what we do with Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the Lord put his finger on what was most important to this rich young ruler, that he had to be willing to repent and give up. And he wasn't willing to do so because he was very wealthy. Now, let me put it in terms that I can better understand, because I don't know anything about wealth and money and the power that it might have. I'm just cornbread and onions. But there was a fellow, and his name wasn't Boo Boo, but everybody called him Boo Boo. They called him Boo. He actually looked like Boo Boo from Boo Boo and Yogi. Yeah, Yogi Berra, Boo Boo, you know. He was kind of built like that. He was just kind of like me, short and pleasantly plump, all right? I went over to Boo Boo's house. One of our men in the church worked with him and was real, real close to him. He said, Preacher, I can't win him to Christ. He won't listen to me. He said, would you go over and maybe spend some time with him? And I went and we howdied for a while and I got to talk to him. And man, I went through the plan of salvation. And he was familiar with what I was telling him. And I got to the point of drawing the net. And I said, Boo Boo, wouldn't you just really like to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And he looked at me and he said, Preacher, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't do that. I said, why is that, Boo? He said, because I love beer. And I know that if I'm to get saved, the Lord's going to want me to walk away from my beer. And I just love my beer too much to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, boo-boo, that's true. Until you're willing, there's no use to me talking to you anymore. I said, but should you, boo-boo, come to the point where you see you better trust Christ as your Savior, you better do so. You better love Jesus more than you love that liquor. You know, boo-boo died about 6-8 months later. He never came to Christ. In fact, at the funeral, it's crazy the things that people do. You know, when someone's dead, they're dead. They can't smoke. They can't burn a reefer. They can't drink beer. But isn't it something how people will come to a casket and will put stuff in that casket? You know, you can go to a Christian funeral and you can see folks will put a Bible or a verse in there. You go to somebody that's lost, you see what they put in there. Boo-boo made a fatal mistake. He made a fatal mistake. He couldn't give up that one thing to come to Jesus Christ. Now, you know what the biggest factor is that keeps people from coming to Christ? It's one word. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. See, Jesus wants you to come. He makes it simple to come. He's paid the price. His blood was shed. He gloriously rose again. Salvation has been secured. It's a gift, but it can only be received. Amen. And you either want it or you either reject it. But that's the choice. I encourage you, don't make the same mistake Mike made. Don't make the same mistake Boo made. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the day of salvation.